Very good evening to one and all. Once again, we meet in the dear name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is good you are here tonight. In the passage we read earlier, we are told that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven. And this thought has often provoked me, that angels already are very happy. But when we go out and win a soul, and the sinner repents, turns to God, the angels of God in heaven rejoice. That really speaks to me. Let me ask you a question tonight. You have been a Christian. How many years? How many souls have you led to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought over this question? Have you ever had the joy of leading someone to the Lord Jesus? Someone who was perishing in his sins, and because you cared, because you went, because you witnessed, maybe you prayed and you shed a tear even for that person, and you brought a soul out of eternal destruction into the kingdom of God. Please ponder over this thought. The word of God here in 1 Peter says, wherein we greatly rejoice. You know, the Christian gospel and the Christian ministry is one of greatest joy. And unless and until you have experienced that joy, you have not had the fullness of the experience of your salvation. Indeed, it is a very joyous experience to know Jesus Christ. So here Peter tells us, even in great heaviness, through manifold temptations, meaning to say, afflictions may come our way, tribulation, suffering of all kinds, yet in the midst of all this, we are assured, because we have a Savior who lives, who right now is in heaven, preparing a place for us, and who continually prays for us. You know that? That our Lord Jesus prays and intercedes for all of us, whom He has purchased with His blood, that you be faithful, that you be fruitful, to go forth for Him, to tell others. And that is the theme tonight. And Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perisheth, though your faith be tried with fire, that it might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ our Lord. Is your faith holding? Is your faith growing? Is your faith sending you forth? My friends, tonight, I'm glad you came. I see the numbers have gone down. They say, hey, after all, he's always telling us the same thing about missions. Why should I come? So tonight the attendance goes down. I'm glad you did not stay away. And the Apostle Peter says, whom having not seen, we love. Who is this? You've not seen the Lord Jesus Christ as the apostles did, the disciples did in those days, saw him in flesh and blood. But I say you do not regret. Do you? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe and yet serve and yet follow faithfully. And so it is. Your blessing is great that God has reserved for you. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not. Yes. But with our mind's eye we see him, our glorious, risen, ever victorious Lord Jesus Christ. So with our mind's eye, we see him. Yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy that we have in serving the Lord is something beyond this earth. No matter what kind of joy, glory, honors that you may get on earth, all those things have a limit. Sooner or later, it all passes away. But there is joy when you serve the Lord Jesus. Please turn to our text for tonight in Revelation, that wonderful book. Chapter 3 of Revelation, and that will give us much food for thought. This is the chapter, the portion that is addressed to that good and commendable church called Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. And the Lord has a good word for that church. And I pray that those good words will come to you tonight to encourage you. Revelation 3, 8, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Amen. Here the Lord Jesus speaks to you. I pray that these words apply to you. That you, whoever you are, no matter how long you've been saved as a Christian, may merit these commendable words from the Lord. For when you are in that position, God can use you in ways you never knew. And as I shall lead you through the few OHPs, you're going to see God can use weak instruments. You, me, any one of us here, if only you be willing and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, take me, use me. Now, what are the qualifications that will make you useful? Verse 8 says, I know thy works. Truly, we must live before him every day, conscious of the fact that Jesus is concerned for you, what you are doing every day. Please never let us lose sight of this. Don't say he doesn't know. He knows. Not just he knows, but he cares. And he's very concerned how you live your life, how you do your work. And here the Lord Jesus says, I know. I know your works, how you're living, how you conduct yourself every day in business, in society, in wherever you work, at home also included. That causes us to ponder and think, Lord, look at my life. Look at my heart. May my heart always be pure before thee with a holy intention, whatever you do. But above all, give me a heart that cares for the lost. A heart that puts a value on other people's souls. A heart that appreciates that my Lord Jesus came to pay the price for my salvation. And he is concerned about all the others in the world. And he says, go be my witnesses. We know that verse, John 15:5 says, without me you can do nothing, right? Truly, without the Lord Jesus, we are nothing. We can do nothing at all. We must live with him, join with him, every day draw our strength and our vitality and our inspiration from him. And yet at the same time, he says, you go. Why must we go? Because without you, Jesus says, I can do nothing. I don't use angels. Angels have nothing to witness that you can witness. Angels cannot come down and say, Jesus Christ died for me, saved me from my sins. They have no such witness at all. You have. We all have. Oh, the joy of being a witness. The joy of going and telling someone who needs you. You must go. You have your contacts. I cannot go for you. You got to go. And the Lord says, I know your works. It is so good to hear of people who say, we have one night a week and we go to Orchard Road area and we give out tracts and we encounter people and talk with them about their soul, the worth of a soul. Where? On Orchard Road. Why don't you think about that? Well, you say, I can't go to Orchard Road. But I say you have friends, relatives, someone. You cannot say no one. So let us think about this. If you can't go, you can pray. How many of you pray for the salvation of someone? Do you? Jesus says, I know your works. If you pray, that is the work. The work of praying, the ministry of praying for others is the most vital ministry. You can have a part in it. You don't need to go to theological seminary for that, you know. You don't need that. All you need is a heart of love, of concern, a heart that feels for others, a heart that says, Lord, I thank you. You saved me. You forgave me. Now let me go and tell the good news that there is forgiveness with God to all who turn to Him. Can you do that? Ah, my friends, Jesus says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. When I left university in 1969, and when with a small group we took off from Life Church, Gilstead Road, we had no idea, none at all, what was ahead of us. All we know is the Lord says, go into all the world and be my witnesses. 1970. Till now is 35 years. As I shall shortly show you, God can do things you never thought of through weak instruments, but with certain qualities described in these verses. Please let us see. And may these words challenge you. Challenge you to think and pray and promise the Lord, Lord, if you can use me, send me. Here it is, verse 8 again. Jesus says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. Yes, He can open doors which we cannot. And no man can shut it because He has the keys. He has all power given unto Him. And He opens the door for you and He says, go, be my witness. For thou hast a little strength. I say honestly before the Lord, all of us here can say this. We all have a little strength, don't we? Yes, I don't say we have a great strength. And truly, God doesn't need people with great strength. All He needs is people with a little strength, but with a willingness to go. A willingness to place yourself in the hands of God and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. He can use you. And I tell you, joy will be yours beyond what you can ever think or expect or dream of. Joy of seeing a soul saved. Soul saved. Why not? So let's ponder this verse again. I have set before thee an open door, as I shall shortly show you. The Lord has opened for us dozens, if not hundreds of doors, which we never knew. Simply because there was a day when we said, Lord, here am I. Take me, use me, send me. You go. Today we all know that verse. Harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. We all know it so well, don't we? But how many of you are challenged, provoked? What's the use of knowing this verse and say, harvest plenteous, laborers few, but I sit tight? There's no use. But I say, may God's Spirit begin a work in someone here tonight to think, what am I doing with my life that God has saved from utter and eternal destruction and given me a new hope, a new prospect, a new life, a new future in Jesus Christ, something I never dreamt of. Now you rejoice, don't you? Of course. There is no greater rejoicing than to know sins forgiven and a home in heaven prepared. But don't stop there, please. I say this earnestly to all your friends here. Think, can God not use you in ways more than he is using you today? For it says here, no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. This is very important. For if you want to go for the Lord, you need that word. For what else have you got to give to perishing souls except that life-giving word, holding forth that word of life? There is nothing else you can give to people except that word, the gospel, that God loves you and he has sent his only son for you to save you from your sin. That is the word. Keep it. Take it with you. Give it to those who need it. That is your greatest weapon in our fight against the evil one. And has not denied my name. Thou hast kept my word and has not denied my name. It's so important, especially today. Today when there are so many other gospels. Do you know that? There are so many churches which have no longer preached the gospel from the Bible, but distortions of the gospel are plenty, and preaching another gospel not found in the Bible, plenty, everywhere. And all these claim the name of Christ. What do you think? You want to serve the Lord? Be very sure what you're going to do with the word of God that you're going to give out. Make sure it is the inerrant, unchangeable word of God of everlasting life. Now begins my story for you. How many years ago? 70 years ago. The impact remains to today. One man, a PhD graduate from America, returns to China, throws away all his awards and medals, prizes, all because God had called him to be a poor servant of the gospel, a man called John Sung. And by God's appointment, he was sent to Singapore. And there I sat 2 weeks every year for 4 years. That kind of impression never leaves me, never forgotten to this day, for that event sealed my whole life course. Dear friends, do you know your life course? What are you living for? What direction are you going? What way are you going? What kind of career are you carving for yourself? What is the end point of your career? What is it? This man that God sent sealed my career for me. And there I said, Lord, take my life. You say so too, please. For God can use you. Now I think of this man, I don't know him. He went to China about 1850. And I always think, oh, thank God for those Western missionaries. He came from Scotland. And we have missionaries from the West. And we always thank God for them. Yes, never forget them. That they forsook their own pleasure and careers to come to the Far East, to China and to other parts. And he came to Sua Tau. And he wore Chinese Cheongsam. And he grew a pigtail, I'm told. I can't see it here, but it is there at the back. To identify like the Chinese, I live like the Chinese. So that people will listen to him, and he sat down and he began to learn Teochew and Hokkien. Learn the language. What for? It's not easy, you know. And then to go and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that my family hearing were converted, saved from idol worship, and the villagers and neighbors said, watch out, watch out. This family will go extinct like the dinosaurs. They disappear from here. Dare to leave the household gods. They are finished. Oh, my friends, the Lord is good. The Lord used this man, William Chalmers Burns. You know, he was a contemporary and co-laborer of Robert Murray McChane. And when he preached, 10,000 will come. But God called him to leave Scotland for China. Another man from the West we must remember is Dr. Carl McIntyre. Why do we remember him? Because he brought us the message of earnestly contending for the faith. And he was the only one, the first one who ever brought us that message, that gospel today is adulterated, sold away, changed, contaminated. They are now preaching in the churches. Now, this was 1948 when he first came. He came to warn us. They are preaching another gospel, which is not gospel. If you are not aware of it and follow them, you will be running the way of destruction and perdition, where there is no salvation. We thank God for a man like him. 50 years he ran the race and lifted the torch and the banner of earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. He went home to glory about 3 years ago. Now, 1969. This is Life Church. As an elder there, I was happy, comfortable. No reason why I should choose to leave this beautiful campus. But I had promised, and God took me at my word. 1938 to 1968 is 30 years. The Lord spoke. I say, Lord, I'm ready. Yes. University honors. Of course. You've reached the very top. And half the year I'm traveling. And all the glamour and excitement of an academic life was there. You pursue it, I'll be there for another 20 years. Enjoying all the glories of society, university, what have you. But no, Life Church is comfortable. God has other plans. I say, dear friends, do not just choose comfort, but choose challenge. The challenge of missions today is what you all ought to think of. Can God not use you? Answer is up to you. May God's Spirit begin to talk, to speak to somebody. He had a great influence on my life. He set the example of a pastor, what a pastor ought to be. What is a pastor? A shepherd, looking after sheep. Here is a man who was always zealous in church planting. We began in Prinsep Street before we were very old, just maybe a couple of years. He was going out to plant other churches, going to the new villages. I used to go with him to Johor, to all the new villages under the Malaysian government in its fight against communism. Right, this is history. You don't see it anymore. We went to all the new villages to preach the gospel. Simple gospel, but people were saved. So here is a man on duty, available to the flock 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Anytime you need him, he's there. Then the Lord sent me out of Life Church with a group. I tell you, the Lord said, what did we read? You read just now. I have set before thee an open door. And the Lord opened a door in Jurong town. For some unknown reason, you see, we are in the center of Singapore. It can go north, it can go east, it can go west, but the Lord showed very clearly, you go west. Right, we did. The Lord led us to the Jurong Town Corporation, and there, I've told this story, but you listen to it again. God prepared a man, the chairman of Jurong Town Corporation. At that time, they called him the mayor, the chief. At that time, he was empowered with special authority to build up the industrial base of Singapore, given summary powers to award land to anyone he thought was worthy. We went there and he thought we were worthy. You cannot outthink God for this. Before we went, God prepared this man. So we went in, he says, oh, Xianghua, what are you doing here? I said, I'm coming here to do the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, he's a Buddhist, a very staunch Buddhist, but he's very happy with Jesus Christ though. Whenever I tell him, he says, very good. Whenever you say, come and believe Jesus Christ, he says, very good, all good. Buddha also good. But however, whatever it is, he was happy to help. Took us to, I went with Reverend Philip Heng to the wall, his office, that's wall full of maps. He says, this piece is for religious use. You can have it. And you know, dear friends, that saved us $5 million, right? If you had to pay money for it, we didn't have to pay. He says, you can have it and pay rental, lease. There is a world of difference if we had to find that money, $5 million, where to find the money. I say, God, open a door. All you need to do always is to wait on the Lord. Lord, if it is your will to go west, we go west. And there God prepares a man, not just that piece. 5 years later, when we had outgrown this church, I went to him again, the second time. And this property on 49,000 feet of land, double the size of this one. Again, he says, what are you here for? I said, the same thing. Oh, he says, come, you see this piece of land, 98,000 square feet, you can have it. I say, oh, 98, you can have it. I couldn't believe my ears. Then on the spot, together with Reverend Philip Heng, Galilee Church, please, our neighbor. I said, Mr. Woon, can you cut into two and one to Philip Heng for Galilee Church, one for us to Calvary? By all means, no problem. We can chop it into two. That saved us $10 million, my friends. Oh, what a wonderful help. Again, we didn't have to buy. We didn't have to tender. From that day onwards, that door closed. No more. Thereafter, everybody had to tender. When you tender, you fight for the best prize. So how good is the God we adore? Now here is something you all have seen, those who are with us for some time. This is a little graphic, they call it a graphic, a picture. We start off Life Church, right? Then this is the path we took this way. 1969, out of Life Church, 1973, Jurong Calvary, the first. The mother of all our Calvary group of churches was Jurong. Thank God, you know, we built that church. We were never in debt. We didn't have money, but God supplied through friends, through patients. Some gave all the granite, some gave this, some gave that, and in no time it was built. Then we went on to Pandan. Yes, 6 years, 5 years later, this is the building. And praise God from whom all blessings flow. Isn't that great? You can sit here in air-conditioned comfort. When we got the land, it was a swamp and a pond. And they put in hundreds of lorry loads of earth for us free. I cannot imagine it. But they did it for us free, to fill all the land and then let us build. I watched the piling. The piles went down 93 feet. Did you hear that? You know how tall is 93 feet? Nine-story building. The piles went in so that now this building sits on the piles. It doesn't sink. The Lord was good. After that, 1984, the Lord sent us to Kuala Lumpur. Kuala Lumpur is the federal capital. And how did the Lord send us there? But by an amazing conversion of a young man called Daniel Chiu, who is now in Toronto, heading the Toronto Bible Presbyterian Church. Coming from a Buddhist family, idol worshipping, in the house, the father had over 30 idols of all kinds, including electrified idols, for the family to worship. And when he heard his eldest son was converted, he nearly wanted to kill him. Yes, truly. He said, "Kneel down. I'll take the parang and cut off a head." The son knelt down. The father's hand went limp. After that, the whole family got converted. So we started a church in their house, Kuala Lumpur. After that, the Lord called us to Perth. Again, amazing. I have set before thee an open door. The least of my thoughts, leaving Life Church, Gilstead Road, was that we ever would go to Australia. Not in my wildest dreams ever thought of Australia. I always thought Australia is very far away and also full of kangaroos and very hot place, full of deserts. Suddenly, I was preaching here, yes, one day in 1985. When I finished, I walked down there, there was a man waiting there for me. He couldn't speak English. He said, "Toi-san?" I said, "What? What's that?" "Cantonese. When I emigrate to Perth, will you come and start a church in my house? What do you say?" I ask you, what do you say? You say, "Let me go and pray about it." No. In such a thing, you don't. You don't need to. Because it is God's will. I say, "Yes. You do house, I go do church." Next year, Chinese New Year, we started the church. 92 people came. We began Perth, BP Church of Western Australia, and so on, all the rest. After Perth, Melbourne. After Melbourne, now Saipan is different. I'm going to show you a little bit about Saipan. How we went to Saipan. A young man says, "I'm called to China." He went to China 3 times. The 4th time came Tiananmen Square, and the democratic movement got crushed
By tanks, people would just roll over and the whole movement stopped. And Pang Kok Hiong was told, don't go. Your life will be in danger. At that time, one Korean student, FEBC, said to him, hey, Kok Hiong, you want to preach to Chinese? Come to Saipan. So here is Saipan. And there he found 10,000 Chinese workers who had nothing to do in the evenings. Come to church. Till today, in 12 years, he's baptized over 1,500 believers. Amazing, amazing outreach. Why did we go to Manila? I'm going to show you that in a moment. All right. The ways of God are beyond our comprehension. We left Life Church for the far west of Singapore, that is Jurong. And from there we went global. I say, God is great. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. All we said was, Lord, let us go and start a church called Calvary. But God sent us opportunity after opportunity of open doors. So I will tell you more about Hilltop. When we started the church in Melbourne, how do you sustain a church in Melbourne? In all those days, I used to fly down 7 times a year to Australia. 7 times. You say, how do you remember? I took my passport and counted all the times they chopped my passport. 70 times in 10 years. That's how I know. So, who is this? Reverend Edward Power and his wife, who happens to be my niece. Now, when we started the work in Melbourne, I couldn't be there all the time. I can go there for 2 or 3 weeks and preach and do Sunday school. But after that, I go. I say, Ed, you're in Adelaide. Adelaide to Melbourne, overnight by coach. He did that for us. 18 months, every 2 weekends, he'll sit in a coach with his wife. Adelaide to Melbourne, preach, minister for the weekend, then go back to Adelaide for 1.5 years. So these are people we want to remember. People who sustain the work of the gospel, who do it in your absence, not for anything. It's not a holiday. It's tedious, overnight, rocking in a coach until the next morning you arrive in Melbourne. And I always remember that them for that. Now here is the man, Kok Hiong. A soldier of the cross. Anytime there is a family in trouble in China, call him, he'll fly there. That is the kind of warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ we want to remember. He came to me one day about 1980-something in one of our camps in Port Dickson. And he says, Doctor, can I have a word with you? I said, sure. He asked me all about our biblical separation. What is it all about? I've heard. I want to hear from you. I told him what it was, that we stand four square on the Word of God, uncompromising, preaching nothing but the Word. And all the gospel or the counsel of God in the Bible, we preach to the saving of souls. When I finish, he says, I'm with you. Next thing, he joined Bible college. Finished, God called him to Saipan. He's there now, over 1,500 baptisms. Saipan. Another man, the man who is in the Hilltop, Manila. Most of you do not know him because he's a sick man. And so he doesn't come to Singapore very often. He comes only when he's very sick to get treatment. Reverend Dan Ebert III. He comes from America. What impresses me is this. A man from America forsakes his own country to come to Philippines and to live in an island called Palawan. Palawan in those days was still living in the Stone Age, so-called. People who did not live very well. in very primitive and backward conditions, and they live in a house built on stilts. When the natives saw these white people come wearing shoes, they couldn't imagine what's all this about. They laugh. Why? What's all this? Wearing clothes and shoes. So he went into that kind of environment 12 years. What for? To learn the language, to Romanize that language, and to translate the New Testament into Palawano. I spoke to him 3 days ago. He is now going through a new edition of the New Testament in Palawano language. And he says, we are almost finished. Almost finished. Praise the Lord. I say, can you come over? Yeah, he says, it's not easy. Not easy. He's thinking about it, but his health is not good. So for this man, we helped him to build on Hilltop a complex of 7 big blocks of building to start a Bible Institute and seminary there. And that property is now the biggest and the best fundamental seminary in the whole of the Philippines. On 5 acres of land, God used a man there and used us to help him. So here we are. This is a picture of the map of Southeast Asia. Here we are in Singapore. And how God has sent us north, east, south, west into all the world to preach the gospel. Finally, God has sent us to this country called Borneo. How did we go to Borneo? I had never ever thought of going to Borneo. To me, it's not attractive at all. All we know is some of them are headhunters and human flesh eaters. Why go to Borneo? But God had other plans for us. One day in London, I met a man called Peter Wong. And when I spoke on biblical separation, he said, I never heard of that before. Can you come to Brunei and tell me something about it? I went, and that was the beginning of a work that started in Brunei. That's Brunei. You know how big is Borneo? The 3rd biggest island in the whole world. It's so big. So we began to help them in Brunei. From Brunei, we moved down to Miri, that is in Sarawak. That is still part of Malaysia, but East Malaysia, right? From Miri, we moved to Cebu. And Cebu, we moved to Kuching. Now, in December, we go to Pontianak. You know what is Pontianak? Vampire City. That's where we are going. And the place most famous for headhunters. In the old days, maybe 100 years ago, they hunted each other and cut off the head and get the skull and hang around the neck, say, I've got so many skulls to my credit. So that's a place, Pontianak. Dear friends, the Lord says, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Leaving Life Church opened a vast new world of missions around the globe. Today, because we left Life Church, you can go to 12 major cities in the world and find a good Bible-believing and Bible-preaching and Bible-honoring church. You can. Because we were obedient. What more can God not do? If those days we had just one handful and God has done that work, now we have many handfuls in many Bible Presbyterian churches. And in this church alone, our resources are 100 times more than what we had in those days. Can God not use you and use me? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, blessed be thy holy name. May thy Spirit touch some heart
tonight cause us to consider that we who have been saved from outer darkness into thy marvelous light of salvation, we will consider how we can repay our gospel debt. O Lord, provoke some young person to think and to say to thee, Lord, if it is your will for me, I will go for you. May the Spirit of God work a mighty work in Calvary, among our churches, among our people, that we will not be found wanting in the day of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in his blessed name. Amen.